بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي كفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد روي في الخبر عن الصادق الأبر عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه قال: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. وفي رواية أخرى: من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers in Islam, we have now entered the month of Shaban. We are practically on the threshold of the month of Ramadan, one stepping stone away from witnessing the beauty of the month of Ramadan. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala keeps us well, alive and healthy, in order to once again enjoy the spiritual ecstasy of this auspicious month. This is such a blessed month that even before the advent of the month of Ramadan, before the month of Ramadan would enter, Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam would prepare the ummah, prepare his beloved Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, and make them look forward to this month. He would prepare them mentally, physically, spiritually for this coming month. So as true Muslimin, we should also look forward to this month. That is why we are even taught the dua from the month of Rajab, that we make dua that Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban wa ballighna Ramadan. That O Allah, grant us blessings in the month of Rajab, in the month of Shaban, and let us remain well and alive to reach and witness the auspicious month of Ramadan. So by constantly making this dua taught to us by Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are being mentally and spiritually prepared for this blessed month. Physically too, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted us to prepare for this month. That is why in some hadith it is mentioned that a person should not keep a great number of fasts in the latter part of the month of Shaban. That in the second half of Shaban, a person should not excessively keep roza, because of the possibility that these rozas could weaken a person. And with the actual obligatory, the compulsory fasting of Ramadan commences, perhaps a person is too weak to do justice to the fasting in the month of Ramadan. Yes, those people who are habitual of keeping certain nafal rozas, people that perhaps fast every Monday and Thursday, which is recommended by Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are allowed to keep these days their roza. But generally, people who are not accustomed to this type of nafal rozas are discouraged from fasting, so that physically to a person can remain strong and healthy in order to fast and do justice to the month of Ramadan. So as a true Muslimin, looking forward to the approach of this month, we should view this month like a person standing on a railway station and waiting eagerly for a certain train to arrive that will take him on a noble and a blessed journey. So this month of Ramadan, too, in the metaphorical sense, it is like a conveyance, a mode of transport, like a train which we are eagerly waiting for on a railway station for the train to approach, so that we can embark on this train with our provisions, provisions meaning being mentally, spiritually and physically prepared to enjoy this month of Ramadan, knowing that this journey of the month of Ramadan on the train will then last until we observe the crescent of the month of Shawwal, until Eid al-Fitr takes place. We will enjoy this beautiful journey, the spiritual ecstasy of the month of Ramadan. So in order to prepare Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very often towards the end of the month of Shaban, used to put forward to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajmain in a very brief way, with brevity, would put forward the virtues of this month of Ramadan, so that a true Muslim can look forward, anticipate the arrival of this month of Ramadan. And one such hadith is mentioned in the books of a hadith, where Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, he states that khatabana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi akhiri yawmin min Sha'ban, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed us on the last day of the month of Sha'ban, putting forward to us the blessed virtues of the month of Ramadan. Because this is our last majlis before the month of Ramadan, I feel it suitable to mention the same hadith that Rasulullah Kareem Sawasam used to put forward to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu majmain on the last day of Sha'ban. So the Salman Farsi radhiyallahu anhu says that Nabi Sawasam addressed us on the last day of the month of Sha'ban, and he said to us, قَدْ أَظَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ عَظِيمٌ مُبَارَكٌ شَهْرٌ فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, that there's dawned upon you a month that is very great, very blessed, such a month wherein is contained a certain night which is better and more in value than 1,000 nights, than 1,000 months. خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, that such a night is contained in this month that is better than 1,000 months. And 1,000 months translates into approximately 83 years and 4 months. So in other words, if a person is fortunate to be engaged in ibadat on this particular night, which is known as the Laylatul Qadr, Shab-e Qadr, a person will acquire the reward of standing in prayer for 83 years. Just by standing in ibadat for one night, a person gets the reward of making ibadat of 1,000 months, of 83 years and 4 months. This is a grace and the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the ummah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have read time and again during the past Ramadans too, that what was the motivation for this particular night to be afforded and accorded to this ummah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the Sahaba kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajmain, time and again in the majalis of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to hear about the worshippers among the Banu Israel. That there were certain abids and worshippers who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for centuries. Because they were given a long span of life, some of them lived for 400 years, some 500 years, some 700 or 800 years, and even beyond that. So when the Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajmain heard this, they became a bit, so to say, disillusioned, that we can never ever compete with these worshippers, because our lifespan, the lifespan of this ummah on average, 70, 80, 90 years, very few people reach that mark of 100 also. So how can we ever even hope to compete in our ibadat with these people of the Banu Israel who lived for so many hundreds of years? On one occasion, Nabi Karim Sam mentioned someone from the Banu Israel that went out in jihad for 1,000 months, in jihad alone for 83 years and 4 months. So this also made the Sahaba envious, that our total lifespan is perhaps not even 83 years, and this person was so blessed to go out in the path of Allah in jihad for a total of 83 years, for 1,000 months. So when the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajmain put forward their concern to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala should grant some solace to my ummah. And it was this factor that motivated the revelation of the verse in Surah Al-Qadr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives glad tidings of this night, that is better than 1,000 months. Laylatun khayrun min alfi shahr. That better than 1,000 months, better than 83 years of ibadat. So Allah Ta'ala has made it so easy for this ummah, that if a person of this ummah is fortunate to find the night of Qadr for 10 years, for 10 Ramadans, so 83 times 10, he has achieved and attained the ibadat of 830 years. Just by staying awake, he doesn't have to stay awake for the entire night too. But he stays awake for a major portion of the night, he gets reward for standing awake for 10 nights, equivalent to 830 years of ibadat. This immensely made the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in very, very happy. It was great, a time for rejoicing, great glad tiding for this entire ummah of Rasulul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whether a person lives for, in actual fact for 830 years, or he gets these 10 nights over 10 Ramadans, in either case, a person should carry out his ibadat looking forward to the grace and the mercy and the fadl and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that our ibadat, our worshipping is very deficient. But yet Allah Ta'ala is most merciful. Allah Ta'ala overlooks our deficiencies. And we look forward to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala shows mercy upon us, that this ibadat that we have carried out, even though it may be deficient, Allah Ta'ala shows His grace and mercy upon us. And Allah Ta'ala uses His ibadat as an excuse for our salvation in the akhirat, for our forgiveness. We should always remember that it is not our amal, not our actions, not our ibadat that will take us into Jannat. It is solely the fadl and the grace and the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will take us into Jannat. This will be the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why in one hadith, Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasizes this point, that لَا يُدْخِلَ أَحَدَكُمْ عَمَلُهُ الْجَنَّةِ, that no person's amal, actions, good deeds will take him into Jannat. The Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in was surprised to hear this, and they knew about the ibadat, the striving of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how much he was devoted to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wala anta ya Rasulullah, that even your amal, your good deeds, your worshipping, your striving, will that also not be sufficient to take you into Jannat? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, La illa an yataghammadani Allahu bi fadlihi wa rahmatihi wa karamihi, aw kama qala li salatu salam. That not even my actions will take me into Jannat except if Allah Ta'ala shows His grace upon me, His kindness upon me, His mercy upon me. It is only the favor and the grace of Allah Ta'ala that will take a person into Jannat. So a person should not be proud of his good actions. Whatever good deeds he does it with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should continue to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, he should remain fearful that lest my amal, my good deeds are rejected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But keep hope in the mercy and the fadl and the grace of Allah ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala will take us, inshallah, into Jannat through His fadl, through His grace and His mercy. An example of this is given in the riwayat. There was a certain abid, worshipper amongst the Banu Israel. They lived for centuries. Once it so happened that all of a sudden he got the urge to now worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in total solitude, to break away from the entire community. So he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala, give me the opportunity to worship you in total privacy, total solitude. So Allah ta'ala accepted the dua of his. Allah ta'ala transported him and whisked him away to a remote island in the middle of the ocean, where he spent his remaining years of his life in total solitude and privacy. And on that island too, Allah Ta'ala granted him a further 500 years of life. And for his provision, for his livelihood, for his sustenance, Allah Ta'ala made a beautiful pomegranate tree to grow on that remote island. And daily, he would be able to pluck from the tree a very delicious, luscious pomegranate, very juicy, very tasty, that was enough to fill his stomach. And Allah Ta'ala caused a spring of water to gush out from the ground that provided for him fresh water to drink daily. So in this way, he made the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enjoying this daily pomegranate, enjoying the fresh water, and spiritually in the ecstasy of the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But eventually the time came for him also to leave the world. Kullu nafsin da'iqatul maut. Every soul must taste of death. So he also had to leave the world. So eventually, Malakul Maut extracted his ruh. He was also taken away from the world. So the riwayat explained that when the day of Qiyamah will take place, the time will come for people to be fortunate to go into Jannah. Allah will say to the Malaika, to the Farishtas, that take this person into Jannah through my grace and my mercy. So a thought will cross his heart that Allah is saying that I should enter Jannah through His fadl, His grace, His mercy, and His kindness. So what happened to my 500 years of ibadat on that remote island where I spent so many years, centuries in solitude, worshipping my Creator? Does that have no value in the sight of my Creator? Inna Allah alimun bidhati sudur. Allah Ta'ala knows every thought that crosses the hearts of man. So immediately Allah Ta'ala picked up the thought that went through his heart, as if he was indicating that it is my achievement, my attainment. I did it out of my free will, worshipping Allah for 500 years. If I am being granted access into Jannah through the grace of Allah, why has no mention been made of my 500 years of ibadat? So Allah Ta'ala will then decree that this man needs to be taught a lesson. Allah will say to the farishtas that don't take him into Jahannam, but take him in front of the doors of Jahannam. So he will be then taken to the doors of Jahannam, and the intense heat of the fire of Jahannam will be such that he will even perceive that heat standing outside of the doors of Jahannam. And the heat will be so intense that you will experience an overwhelming thirst, such a thirst that will become unbearable. While he is in this plight, he will notice a farishta going past with a goblet, with a glass of water, cool, fresh water. And he will call out to that farishta that, listen, I am suffering in this condition, I am extremely thirsty, give me this goblet of water to drink. The farishta will say to him, obviously under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the farishta will say to him that you cannot get this glass of water free of charge. There is a payment that will be levied for this glass of water. So he will anxiously ask that, what is the payment? I am prepared to pay anything at this point of time for this glass of water. Then the farishta will say to him that the payment for this glass of water is 500 years of ibadat. So then it will cross his mind that, yes, I was blessed to worship Allah Ta'ala for 500 years during my worldly life on that remote island. Let me give over this 500 years of ibadat. I am totally in a desperate situation, so I can quench my thirst taking this glass of water. He will take the glass of water and seed over his 500 years of ibadat in payment. Thereafter Allah will command the farishta that, bring forth in front of me again. He will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will then say to him that what happened to that 500 years of ibadat that you are boasting about? You claim that that is your ticket to Jannat. You don't have that ticket anymore. So then he will realize his mistake, the folly of his ways, and he will then plead with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, I have learned my lesson. It is only through your fadl, your grace, your kindness, your mercy that I can go into Jannat. So Allah grant me entry into Jannat with your fadl, your grace and mercy. That is when Allah Ta'ala will command that now send him into Jannat. And he will enjoy eternal bliss and happiness in the gardens of Jannat. So this ummah is most fortunate that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in this hadith that this month of Ramadan, which is one stepping stone away for us after the month of Shaban ends, we come to the month of Ramadan. This month contains this blessed night, the night of power, that is better, more valuable than 1,000 months of ibadat, more precious than 83 years and 4 months of ibadat. This is that blessed month that we ought to look forward to. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ شَهْرٌ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ صِيَامَهُ فَرِيضَةً وَقِيَامَ لَيْلِهِ تَتَوُعًا. Then Nabi Sallam explains that this is such a month in which Allah Ta'ala has made the fasting this month compulsory. And He has made the standing in ibadah during the night, referring to the Taraweeh Salah, Allah has made that a sunnat. So the fasting is farad, and Taraweeh Salah is sunnat, but it is not an ordinary sunnat. It is sunnat muakkada. It is an emphasized sunnat in our Sharia, ordained, prescribed to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the avenue and the channel of our beloved Nabi Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This also shows that even the Taraweeh Salah has been recommended, ordained as sunnat by none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this will perhaps remove the question that may arise that you read in the hadith where Rasulullah Kareem Sallam says to this effect, قَدْ سَنَنْتُ لَكُمْ قِيَامَهُ, that I have made sunnat, the Taraweeh Salah during the night. So when Nabi Sallam says, I have made it a sunnat, it means that Rasulullah Kareem Sallam is only further and further emphasizing the fact that Allah has made it sunnat, Allah has ordained this Taraweeh, I am merely being used as a vehicle to convey this message to you. I am emphasizing to you that Allah Ta'ala has proclaimed this Taraweeh Salah as sunnat during the night. So this is a very important ibadat, Taraweeh Salah, that is only performed in the month of Ramadan. But unfortunately, many of us are negligent of this Taraweeh Salah. We find that in certain places, maybe Taraweeh Salah, a hafiz recites 3 paras a night, he completes the Taraweeh Salah in 10 nights. Or even in a shorter period, some complete in 5 nights. In Azad Wal Alhamdulillah, we have a venue where we can have the Taraweeh completed sometimes in 2 nights, sometimes even in 1 night. Allah reward Hafiz Yusuf Jasad Sahab. Allah has blessed him. He knows the Quran very, very well. In the winter months, because the nights are longer, he has managed to complete the Quran even in 1 night. So some people complete listening to the Quran behind the Imam, let's say in 1 night or 3 nights or in 10 nights. And after that, for the rest of the month, so to say, they begin to chill out. They say that now we have completed listening to the Quran, we don't have to attend the Taraweeh Salah. Whereas that is not the case. We must understand that these are two different sunnahs. One is the sunnah of listening to the entire Quran in the Taraweeh Salah. And the other sunnah is to perform our 20 rakats Taraweeh every night for the entire month of Ramadan. So if a person listens to the Quran in 10 nights, or in 5 nights, in 3 nights, or in 1 night, he has merely looked after one sunnah. What about the remaining sunnah that for the rest of the month of Ramadan, He has to perform his 20 rakats of Taraweeh for the remaining month of Ramadan, so he should not neglect that sunnah. This only makes it easy where a person is able to listen the Quran 5 nights or 10 nights. For those people who normally have to go out traveling in the month of Ramadan, they may be reps for certain companies, they have to go to country towns and stay overnight, and maybe the Taraweeh of that town does not correspond with the Taraweeh of his local town, so there is a possibility he misses out maybe a few paras, maybe a few rukus. So for that reason, he's able to listen to the entire Quran in 5 nights, 10 nights. It makes it easy for him. Or a person wishes to go out in the path of Allah, which is a very noble reason to go out, spending the month of Ramadan in Dawat and Tabligh. For that reason, a person wants to complete listening to the Quran in a few nights, and the rest of the month of Ramadan, he goes out in the path of Allah. It facilitates for him that he has now listened to the entire Quran. So whichever town he follows the imam in 20 rakats of Taraweeh, if those paras do not correspond with the recitation of his local town, he knows he has already listened to the entire Quran. So these are two separate sunnahs. We have to look after both the sunnahs, listening to the entire Quran and also spending every night in 20 rakats of Taraweeh Salah. And because this also is a specific sunnah, listening to the entire Quran, this practice of some people that don't want to stand for long periods in the first rakat, you will find we cannot only blame the children, unfortunately adults too. They will sit against the wall somewhere at the back of the masjid. Imam is reciting the Quran al-Kareem, and they wait for the moment when they feel that now from the tone of the imam's recitation, he's about to go into ruku, then they quickly stand up and join the Taraweeh Salah. So there, what is the harm? He has made the 20 rakats of Taraweeh Salah, but he has not listened to the entire Quran in Taraweeh Salah. The few rukus that he missed out by not joining the Salah from the very beginning, it means he has left out that sunnah of listening to the entire Quran in Taraweeh Salah. So very important, not too difficult, just for 1 month of the year, for 30 nights, to join the Taraweeh Salah from Takbir-e-Ula, from the first Takbir, to ensure that we listen to every verse of the Holy Quran. This is not too much to offer, not too much to sacrifice in this blessed month of Ramadan. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu encourages us as far as the Taraweeh Salah is concerned. And then Nabi Sallallahu further mentions and extols the virtue of this month. He says, مَنْ تَقَرَّبَ فِيهِ بِخَصْلَةٍ كَانَ كَمَنْ أَدَّى فَرِيضَةً فِي مَا سِوَاهُ وَمَنْ أَدَّى فَرِيضَةً فِيهِ كَانَ كَمَنْ أَدَّى سَبْعِينَ فَرِيضَةً فِي مَا سِوَاهُ. That the person who carries out one optional nafal act in this month of Ramadan, he gets the reward of carrying out a farz action. And the person who carries out a farz action, his farz namazes for example, or he pays a farz zakat in the month of Ramadan, he gets the reward of carrying out 70 farz. That farz is multiplied as far as the reward is concerned, 70 times. But look at our condition. We are so weak. Leave aside the optional ibadat, which we should carry out in the month of Ramadan, our Ishaq Salah, our Awabin, our Tahajjud, and other Nafal Ibadat. Leave aside that. Many of us, unfortunately, even neglect our Farz Ibadat in the month of Ramadan. There are so many people who, after partaking their Sahri, unfortunately, they perform the Fajr Salah at home and go to sleep. And they lose out on the Fajr Salah being performed with Jamaat in the local masjid. Things are made easier for us in the month of Ramadan. Fajr Salah takes place earlier than normal. So that as soon as a person completes his Sahri, he makes wudu, and already the Adhan goes for Fajr Salah. He can perform his Fajr Salah and still come back early if he wants to rest for a short while. But yet, because of our Sahri, many people go to sleep. Maybe a very small percentage of people don't even perform their Fajr Salah. And those that perform it at home are losing the benefit of performing the Fajr Salah with Jamaat in the Masjid. That performing Salah with Jamaat gives a person 27 times more reward than performing the Salah individually. In fact, in some hadith we are warned that la salata li jaril masjid illa fil masjid. That the person who lives in close proximity to the masjid, his salah is also not accepted in the court of Allah. Not accepted meaning, the obligation will fall off his shoulders, but you will not get the reward for that salah. That if without any excuse, if he's an ill person, it's a different case. Without any excuse, if he does not perform his salah with Jamaat, he does not get the reward of that salah. So leave aside the nafal optional ibadat. We even become neglectful of our first salah in the month of Ramadan. At the time of iftar too, people are so engrossed in eating all the delicacies, many people miss several rakats of the Maghrib salah. And if they do not miss a rakat, they miss the takbir-e-ula, at least in the month of Ramadan. Let us be diligent, try and be there for all the namazes from the very first takbir. So it's not too difficult. And then we find other namazes are also neglected. Some people have a short nap before Zuhr Salah and they are unperturbed about the Zuhr Salah. They wake up late, they miss the Zuhr Salah. They do not perform it with Jamaat, maybe perform it at home. As far as Asr Salah is concerned, people are so engrossed in purchasing their final necessities for the iftar in the bazaars, in the marketplace, or people running their businesses, attending to the last customers, with the result that they even miss the Asr Salah. So this is very sad indeed. If you look at our pious predecessors, they used to really strive and really put everything, all the energy, spiritual energy, into the month of Ramadan to acquire maximum benefits from the month of Ramadan. People like Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahib, Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Ali, the last two Ramadans or so, we were reading his biography also, after Asr. It is said about him that after the Maghrib, when a sun would set, obviously he would make his iftar. After iftar, he would then go and perform his Maghrib Salah. And after Maghrib Salah, in his Awabin Salah, he used to recite the minimum of 1 1/4 para of the Holy Quran in Awabin Salah. Thereafter, he would go home and partake of his supper, in which a lot of time would not be used up, maximum half an hour. Then he would prepare for his Isha Salah and Taraweeh Salah. After Isha Salah, in Taraweeh Salah, he would spend approximately 2.5 to 3 hours in the Taraweeh Salah. Because these were people that enjoyed the Kalam of Allah Ta'ala. They enjoyed listening to the Quran. What is our condition today? That we look for the masjid where the Taraweeh Salah can be completed in the shortest possible time. We actually scout around and look for such masajid so that we can be complete with our Taraweeh Salah. And not so that we can go home to rest or for some necessary work. Many such people are found after the Taraweeh Salah outside of the masajid, engaged in their own conversations, very often involved in making ghibat, backbiting, speaking about so and so, that they have the time to waste half an hour to 1 hour in vain talk, but they cannot give 5 or 10 minutes extra listening to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Taraweeh Salah. There is also a very sad state of affairs indeed. And people are so anxious to finish their Taraweeh Salah. Some masajid bring forward the Isha time so early that sometimes a person is placed in doubt that maybe the Isha Salah started before the setting of the Isha time. So why should we try and waste our ibadat in the month of Ramadan? So very, very important. Let us take a lesson from these pious predecessors. So Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahib Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Ali, 2.5 to 3 hours he would spend in Taraweeh Salah. And thereafter he would go and rest. for a mere 2 to 3 hours. And then he would be awake again for his tahajjud salah. Reciting the Quran al-Kareem in his tahajjud salah. Right up to before sehri times ends, he would leave a little time to partake of his sehri. And then from sehri time to fajr salah, he would engage in tilawat of the Quran, in muraqabah, in his tasbihat. Then he would perform his fajr salah. After fajr salah too, he would sit up to the time of ishraq, engage in dhikr, in muraqabah. He would perform his ishraq salah. And after ishraq too, he would not go to sleep. He would engage in dini matters. There were certain years that he spent in compiling the commentary of Sunan Abu Dawud, known as Badlul Majhud. Many years he spent in the compilation of this commentary of this famous hadith book, Sunan Abu Dawud. And this would occupy his time right up to midday. At midday, he would then go and rest for a little while, have a short nap, and get up for Zuhr Salah, perform his Zuhr Salah. And after Zuhr Asr time, again he would engage in the tilawat of the Qur'an al-Kareem. After Asr, up to Maghrib, he would then engage in dhikr and tasbihat. If people would come to meet him, he would meet the associates, the acquaintances, and attend to their needs. This was the way these people used to spend their months of Ramadan. Hazrat Maulana Mahmud al-Hassan Sahib, the Deobandi, who was known as the Shaykh al-Hind Rahmatullahi, he would spend the entire night of the month of Ramadan, right up to Sehri, in Nafal Salah. He himself would recite Quran in his Nafal Salah, and thereafter he would call up certain Huffaz, and one after the other, he would tell the Huffaz to recite and listen to their recitation in Nafal Salah, right close up to Sehri time. So he used to remain awake during the night, and it was the same as the Shaykh al-Hind Rahmatullahi. On one occasion, when he stood up for a lengthy period of time in his tahajjud salah, in his nafal salah at night, his feet became swollen. When his feet became swollen, and after making salam, he noticed this. He did not grieve. Rather, he let out a cry of joy and ecstasy that today I was able to experience a sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It comes in the hadith, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي حتى تورمت قدماه. That Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم used to stand for such lengthy periods of time in his ibadat at night that his feet used to become swollen. So because he was able to emulate that feet of Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم, that action of Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم, he became extremely joyous and happy. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullahi, in the month of Ramadan, he would not even attend to his correspondence. He would not be prepared to meet people. He would occupy all his time in the tilawat of the Quran, because this is a special month of the Quran al-Kareem. In this month, the Quran was revealed also. Only after Taraweeh Salah, when he would spend some time having a few cups of tea, then people would come up to Ms. Khadims and mention to him certain important aspects. Otherwise, he would not even meet people in the month of Ramadan, totally occupied in the tilawat of the Qur'an al-Kareem. So this is the way these people used to spend their month of Ramadan. So this is a very precious month. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, مَنْ تَقَرَّبَ فِيهِ بِخَصْلَةٍ كَانَ كَمَنْ أَدَّى فَرِيضَةً فِي مَا سِوَى وَمَنْ أَدَّى فَرِيضَةً فِي كَانَ كَمَنْ أَدَّى سَبْعِينَ فَرِيضَةً فِي مَا سِوَى. That the person who carries out a nafal act in the month of Ramadan, he gets the reward of a farz act. And a person who carries out a farz act, that is multiplied 70 times. He gets the reward of 70 farz. Such is the month of Ramadan. And then Nabi Karim Sam goes on to say, وَهُوَ شَهْرُ الصَّبْرُ وَالصَّبْرُ ثَوَابُهُ الْجَنَّةِ. This is a month of exercising patience. A person needs a great deal of patience, because from dawn to dusk, he has to abstain from three basic needs: food, drink, and relationship with his spouse. He has to avoid all that intimate relation with the wife, and also food and drink. This requires a lot of willpower. A person needs to exercise sabr and patience. But the hadith says that we should not grieve. The reward for this patience is Jannat. Allah will grant such a person for his patience Jannat in the Akhirat. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَهُوَ شَهْرُ الصَّبْرُ وشهر المواسات. It is also the month of showing sympathy for one another. For our employees as well, we should so show sympathy, ease their burden of work during the month of Ramadan, give them off earlier so they can also join their families for iftar. We should make it easier for our subordinates, show sympathy to them and show a feeling towards them as Islam, our Shariat, has taught to us. So this is a month of showing sympathy for one another, for those people who are under us, a subordinate to us, our employees, our servants. Show a bit of empathy towards them as well. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "O Shahrun, yuzadu fihi fi rizqil mu'min." That this is such a month in which even the sustenance of a mu'min is increased. That we remain hungry throughout the day. But the food and the delicacies that we see on the dastarkhan in the month of Ramadan, we do not see throughout the year. Allah Ta'ala provides all the food for us, increases our rosy in the month of Ramadan by virtue of our having been patient, carrying out the commandment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala in this month of Ramadan increases our rizq, our rosy, and that is something we ought to thank Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for. The Quran says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٌ. Then if you will show gratitude, we will increase your bounties. But if you will be ungrateful, then remember, my punishment is also very, very severe. So in all aspects, whatever bounties Allah Ta'ala gives to us, Allah Ta'ala affords us, we should always thank Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We should not regard any bounty as trivial, that even this coming month of Ramadan, a great bounty of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala keep us all alive to witness this blessed month. So even this blessed month is such that we ought to thank Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala keeps us alive to witness this month. Then inshallah, we will enjoy the spiritual ecstasy of the month of Ramadan. Inshallah, we shall continue in the next sitting after the Isha Salah. A few more aspects of the month of Ramadan too, and a few more points that I wish to bring to our brother's attention. First and foremost, I am the addressee of all this. I need to remind myself too, and we all ought to remind one another about the coming of this month of Ramadan, that we should look forward to it eagerly. We should not regard it as a burden, something that we want to avoid. A Muslim, true Muslim, is one who looks forward to these seasons of spiritual ecstasy and spiritual increase, when Allah Ta'ala rewards us abundantly for even little actions. We should look forward to it and eagerly anticipate the coming month of Ramadan. And we make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala keeps us alive and well to carry out the ibadat of the month of Ramadan that is coming before us. We continue to make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban wa ballighna Ramadan, has taught to us that Allah give us blessings in the month of Rajab, in the month of Shaban too. These are also auspicious months. And also, let us remain alive and well to see the blessed month of Ramadan. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We make dua for Mufti Masood Sahib also, who normally explains the masail after this sitting. He is out in the path of Allah in Malaysia, I think. Allah Ta'ala keep him well and healthy. Accept him going out in the path of Allah. Accept his entire Jamaat and use them, inshallah, for the propagation of deen throughout the entire world, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah.